Psalm 22, verse 19. Be not far from me, O Lord. You are my strength. Hasten to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword. You have answered me. I will tell of your name to my people. I believe that there is a spiritual instinct in every human being, if you like, a homing instinct toward God. And I believe that there isn't a person who does not at some stage in his or her life find themselves praying. Some years ago, I was traveling from Belfast in Northern Ireland back to Liverpool. The airport in Liverpool is now known as the John Lennon International Airport. And I was getting onto the plane, not dressed like this, of course, in mufti, open-neck shirt. And as I climbed up the steps into the aircraft, I could see the storm clouds gathering and thought, this doesn't look very good. And indeed, it wasn't. We were buffeted about in the skies. The flight attendants remained seated and strapped in, and everybody was silent and pretending to read. You knew this because the magazines were upside down, and you could just imagine that above people's head there were these thought bubbles filled with a prayer which simply said, "Oh God, help us land safely." Well, of course, I'm here to tell the tale, and we did land safely. And as we came into land at John Lennon International Airport, the man sitting next to me began to talk. Oh, he said, I knew this was going to be a really bad flight. In fact, I knew it was going to be terrible. But I didn't tell you because I didn't want to frighten you. He said, actually, I'm an airline pilot. And then he said, and what do you do? I said, I'm a priest, but I didn't tell you because I didn't want to frighten you. A spiritual instinct that comes to the fore episodically and often when we find ourselves in difficulties. This Holy Week feeds our spiritual instinct. And in the gospel reading that we have just heard, Jesus says something uniquely and remarkably, because this is the only time in the gospels, indeed it may have been the only time in the life of Jesus, when he ever calls himself Lord. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. For that is what I am. I suppose if you and I had been given the calling to say that, we might have chosen stilling the storm on the Sea of Galilee. You want to know that I am Lord? Then look at this, be still, and the storm ceases. Or maybe we would have chosen the raising of Lazarus from the dead. You want to know that I'm the Lord of life and death? Lazarus, come out. But no, no. Jesus chooses to reveal his lordship uniquely when he is on his hands and knees doing the work of a servant, with his words declaring his lordship, with his deeds declaring his servanthood. I think that I was brought up with this idea about Jesus being Lord and servant going something like this. There was Jesus in eternity as Lord of Lord and King of Kings, and then for a period of 30 years or so, he comes to earth to become a servant, in order then to secure his domination over the world so that he could resort to being Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Until you come across a parable in Luke chapter 12, which tells us that when he comes again, he will have us recline and he will come and serve us at the second coming as well as the first. So you see, Jesus is not just a servant as a means to an end. That is the character of Jesus for eternity. It is the character of God himself. And what we see at that Last Supper is a revelation of God as the servant Lord, not as a means to an end, but because that is his nature, to both lord it and to serve it, to lord over us and to serve us. And so in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, it is expressed so beautifully and powerfully by that central image of the Lamb upon the throne. The Lamb, the symbol of servanthood, the throne, the symbol of lordship. My friends, we have come here this evening to worship the Deacon God. The Deacon God who, in the final pages of the Bible, is seen to wipe away the tears from our eyes. Does he delegate that task to an elder or to an archangel? No, he reserves it to himself. Have you ever wiped away the tears from someone else's eyes? It is the most delicate and gentle thing to do. You don't want to damage the eye. You want to remove the tear that blurs the vision, and you do it gently as you wipe the tear from the eye across the cheek. That is how God ministers to us. Not just then, but now in this place, in worship, in word, and in sacrament. But how does our human freedom fit with God's sovereignty as Lord of Lords and King of Kings? How does that reality of us being free to decide and to choose fit with the notion that God has a plan, not just for his universe, but for us personally? I sometimes think of a great master painter who's sitting at his canvas, and in his mind's eye, he has a vision of what to create with the oils on the canvas. But not only is he a grand master painter, he's also a wonderful grandfather. And surrounding him and the easel is a crowd of mischievous grandchildren who all have their own designs upon the canvas. So dabbing their fingers in the palette of oils and daubing the canvas, they make their own impression on the painting. But so patient a grandfather, and so masterly an artist, that instead of shooing them away, he incorporates all their smudges and marks so that they add to the very depth and the texture of the vision that has been created before them. What is that vision? A vision of heaven come down to earth, where we are promised there'll be no more sighing, no more dying, no more crying, no more pain. For God, the servant Lord, will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. And in a moment, I shall read more of this poem by John Donne. Vision so beautifully expressed in these words. Since I am coming to that holy room, where with thy choir of saints forevermore I shall be made thy music. Not just you and I adding to the choir of heaven around the throne of grace, but our lives redeemed by the servant Lord being music to the ears of God. I shall be made thy music. And that's how our gospel reading begins tonight, where we're told that Jesus was conscious that he was coming from God and going to God. And that is where you and I are bound to. In and through him, we too are bound on a journey that will end with this vision, and that we too will be with God. I remember when our children were very small, and I was a curate at Christ Church Clifton in Bristol, and many, many miles away up in Scotland, on the shore of the Firth of Forth, lived my parents. And every now and again, we would take the children with us on the long car journey to go and see them. Well, the children were so excited. And of course, they tried as best they could to stay awake the whole time so that they'd be awake when we arrived at Granny and Grandpa's. But of course, however much they tried to do it, they failed and they would fall asleep. So that when we arrived, I would carry them into the bed already made warm by Granny, and they would be asleep until the morning, and then they would awake to a new dawn and to a new vision of that wonderful river. You see, we hold on to life as long as we can, like children on a long journey wanting to keep awake. But eventually, all of us fall asleep. And it is our faith, our Holy Week faith, our Easter faith, that when that moment comes, then shall each of us wake to a new dawn, and we will hear that word from the cross for us. Today, you will be with me in paradise. A poem by John Donne. Since I am coming to that holy room, where with thy choir of saints forevermore I shall be made thy music, as I come, I tune the instrument here at the door, and what I must do then, think here before. We think that paradise and Calvary, Christ's cross and Adam's tree, stood in one place. Look, Lord, and find both Adams met in me, as the first Adam sweats around my face. May the last Adam's blood my soul embrace. An Easter hymn. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.